Chicken Run, which was the brainchild, of course, of Aardman Animation. And I'm so delighted to have with me on the phone Jay Clark. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
How you doing? I'm very good. How are you?
Good, not too bad.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. Of course, I played the song there from Chicken Run, which, of course, was a piece de resistance in the world of animation. And
a chicken pie de resistance.
It was. I know. I love the Indiana Jones-ness about it, you know, with the gravy scene. It's fabulous, isn't it? Now, because we're often delighted when we see our ever-lovable characters of Wallace and Gromit on our screens, but how did they come about? They seem so real, but, of course, they're the imagination of... yourself and the team of Aardman Animation people, but how did it come about? How did you get involved in that?
Well, I mean, Nick Park sort of came up with Wallace and Gromit when he was at university, and he went to Sheffield Hallam University, which is where I went, and that's actually jumping ahead. That's how I got involved with Aardman. But he basically based Wallace on his father, I believe, who was a bit of a kind of British eccentric inventor, you know, always tinkering away in the shed, and so it's very much Nick Park's father, I think, and a lot of Nick in Gromit. He would admit to that.
Would he? That's the thing, you can say that, because obviously you're working very closely with him. But just like to say, I was very fortunate enough to hear you speak at the BAFTA CBBC event at the South Bank. And when you demonstrated your amazing talent for drawing these truly brilliant characters. Now, it seems every little boy's and girl's dream. Did you always dream of being an animator in some way?
I did, very much so. And you hear this a lot, really, with people that work in this industry. And I suppose any industry where there's a lot of passion, it usually gets you quite young. And especially with animation and cartoons, because, you know, it's the first things you're kind of seeing when you're very young as a baby. And my father often tells me I would cry constantly if I was ever pulled away from Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote and any of those cartoons on TV. So I think I was obviously hooked at a very early age. And then you just start sort of drawing, actually, you know, things on the TV. Like the Bugs Bunny and all those great cartoons, and it just sort of stems from there, really.
Yes, it really. How did you, when you obviously you discovered this very young and a real passion, how did you go about pursuing that passion?
Well, I drew very much for pleasure all the time, and filled lots of sketchbooks, and constantly sort of thinking about ideas and that sort of thing, and I guess as you go through the school system, you start to sort of see that we're all heading towards a career, and, you know, I guess you make that decision of what will that career be, and, you know, I definitely wanted to carry on drawing and be involved with ideas and cartoons and stuff, so you very quickly start to see that, okay, well, maybe, you know, English and art and graphics and all those kinds of things that we have access to at school are of value, and to really get those as a GCSE and A-levels, and it's really just one of those balls that starts to roll, and then you realise that you kind of need to go to a very good art college, and it's actually thinking about it, it's just one thing after another.
Yes,
you
know? I was going to say, is it something that you went down the sort of conventional, well, not conventional, but to learn that craft, to go to art college, or was it something that you learnt a bit on the job as well as you went along?
I think there is an element of that as well. You know, people often say you can learn so much, but really you have to kind of get, you know, work experience and all that kind of thing. And I would definitely say that that's important. I mean, from my point of view, I went to a university that had ties with Nick, you know, just because he was a graduate from that university. And in my third year, he did a bursary. And I mean, it was only £500, but it was to sort of help towards your studies. And I was lucky enough to win that. And of course, that then just opens up the contacts. And if you're willing to kind of pursue it and push for work experience, and it doesn't have to be Aardman, you know, places like the BBC and all those big creative companies, more often than not, there's a way to get in, you know, work experience or internship. And more often than not, you're sort of not quite doing what you want to do to begin with, but, you know, you're kind of working towards it. And
yes. You've got to be humble enough to sort of go in there and say, I'm just going to absorb like a big sponge and I'm going to learn and not expect to be like, you know, the top animator right at the start, I guess, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. It's a definite learning process. And, I mean, it's an industry like any other industry, so you're never going to go into it, you know, knowing everything and being top dog. You've really got to kind of respect who's gone before and who your superiors are. And, yeah, like you said, just go in there like one big sponge.
Of course. Now, there must be so many great animators and animations. Did you grow up having a particular hero? And who were those people that you admired?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think one of the obvious chaps would be obviously Disney, Walt Disney, who created such a massive, you know, empire, really, of cartoons and theme parks and, you know, just a wonderful storyteller, primarily, which, you know, for me as a storyboard artist, that's my day-to-day bread and butter, really. You know, that's something I'm constantly, we're working out story problems and making sure the gags are all in the right place and the characters are well-formed. And, I mean, that's something Disney could do just, you know, just as a natural thing, I would say. And then, I mean, you know, jumping ahead to someone like Nick. And, I mean, I remember seeing The Wrong Trousers and just being absolutely blown away by the train chase sequence,
oh.
You know, which is just a kind of classic piece of cinema, really.
Yes.
And you sort of think, wow, you know, And these guys are in Britain and they're in Bristol, and you know, it doesn't always have to be LA and Hollywood. You know, we can tell fantastic stories in England.
Definitely,
and, you know, that definitely gets you interested.
Oh, Bristol's the hive of creative. It's the centre. It's the epicentre of creativity. Oh. You have to move to Bristol, I think. It's brilliant. Now, of course, I love The Wrong Trousers as well, because Feathers McGraw is one of my favourite characters. I love his beads of sweat. I bet that was quite fun. Were you involved in drawing The Wrong Trousers, or did you come into Aardman at a different time?
I did come in around about the time of Were-Rabbit, which was the first sort of Wallace and Gromit feature. So so I wasn't involved in Wrong Trousers or Closure. So those are the kind of films we were looking to, in order to sort of, you know, they were what we kind of measured ourselves to,
yes,
in a way. And, you know, something like Wrong Trousers is just a kind of perfect short film in many ways, really. So I guess we're always kind of looking back to that and making sure everything lives up to that, really. You know, I wouldn't say a day goes by that we don't kind of reference something like The Wrong Trousers or even Chicken Run, you know, because we kind of know that we're trying to put that level of detail into those kinds of films, which everyone sort of expects from Aardman. It's a bit of a given, really.
Yes, exactly. When you've set the bar and you sort of want to keep going over that bar every time, don't you? But it's a tall challenge. I remember reading about Jeffrey Katzenberg saying about Walt Disney that he left breadcrumbs and they were like sort of traces that you could follow. And do you find that Nick Parks has done that for yourself, with the previous work? They're the breadcrumbs and they're just easy to pick up, and then you just go with it and keep developing it.
Definitely. I think it's, you know, we definitely get his sensibility, and he was very much, even though he wasn't directing this series hands-on, he's always very much involved and, you know, wants to see the process and signs off on the scripts and the animatics and the final animation. So he's always there as a presence, although he's very busy kind of working on you know, future projects, really.
Yes, definitely. I'd say, as a storyboarder, you sort of assume there's a certain amount of collaborative process, but are you assigned characters that you stick with, or do you change? And can people tell the slight differences in who's drawn Wallace and Gromit on a given day?
That's a good point, actually, Suzanne, because from an animation point of view, the animators do tend to get cast almost like actors. You know, they'll be cast into a certain character, and they'll almost stay with that character all the way through the film. But as a storyboard artist, because you tend to be more involved with the nuts and bolts of the plotting and the story and the gags and the character development, you tend to hopscotch from different characters. So in a weird way, it's slightly schizophrenic. Because for one, if you're storyboarding a Shaun the Sheep episode, for a short amount of time, you'd be drawing the farmer, so you're kind of, you know, you're kind of getting into that farmer mode of thinking, and then in the next few drawings, you might be Sean, so you've kind of got to change tact a little bit and be a little bit more cheeky and wily, and so from that point of view, it's very challenging and exciting,
yes,
to be able to kind of dip in to all these different characters. And
it's like you said, actors, you know, playing a number of different parts. So you kind of, do you find that you sort of, it must be quite fun, and do you sort of act it out and bounce it around and put on voices to sort of help you then sort of get into that feel to then draw what you think that is going to be?
Yes, absolutely. It's, I would say for anyone sort of interested in the storyboarding side of it, you know, concentrate on your theatre, you know, and then, you know, the kind of plays people put on at school were very much a part of what get me kind of riled up, because you've got no, you know, you're just playing the part almost, and you've really got to kind of capture and act with your pencil. So it might be that, yeah, you do kind of sneak off and grab a mirror and just kind of play out the scene and get a feel for it. So yeah, you've got to be a bit of a shy actor, really.
Yes, exactly. But you're putting all that energy into the animation, which really comes off. Yeah. Because obviously, saying about Curse of the Were-Rabbit, I love all the referencing to all the sort of, you know, the parodies of all those Halloween type of films and what have you, and all the horror genre. But it must be great fun to have animated and worked on all the rabbits, and particularly the character played by Ralph Fiennes in that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
with the hair and everything.
Oh, it's a great toupee, isn't it?
And, it's fantastic. Did you come up with the dog?
I saw Ray at the premiere, and I could see him in the cinema, and he was really chuckling away. You know, he really got a kick out of that character. Even after months and months of recording the dialogue, it was funny to see him still kind of laughing away at that particular character.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And I guess it's collaborative in that way. Do you get to input on the sort of puns and the one-liners, or is it collaborative, or do you kind of come up, well, I think this would be a good line?
Yeah, I think if you think of A Shaun the Sheep, it's really a silent sort of cinema. It's very much kind of in that tradition of Laurel and Hardy and Chaplin. So you're forced to think of visual gags rather than verbal. But Wallace and Gromit, they are just the pun... You know, the pun masters, aren't they?
They are.
he's just got, you know, in this new series, they're actually presenting a TV show, so you can only imagine the kind of terrible jokes that he's putting to the viewer. But we do get to get involved with that sort of thing. A lot of pun on cheese and
of course. It'll be Wensleydale, won't it? And all that sort of stuff would be fantastic. But of course, you said that Ralph Fiennes was recording for a number of months. Do you find that you come up with the drawing first and then the dialogue comes, or somebody gives you the dialogue and then you draw to it?
Actually, it's a bit of both, but to begin with, we will do a drawing pass so that the idea is that the actor can then react to the drawings and sort of get an idea of what his character is going to look like, because none of these things have been made. None of these things sort of exist. They're just in a very dark recording room, and it's sort of a bit of a challenge for them to think, okay, you know, I'm a 6-foot rabbit, or I'm a tiny little chicken. So
yes,
it's really an aid to get the character moving. And then once that process begins and they start to record, it then becomes a circular thing in that we'll begin to sort of get recordings back, and then we can sort of tailor our drawings a little bit more accordingly then.
Mm-hmm.
To how the actor is working with it. So,
yes, constantly working, developing, fine-tuning all these great things. And of course, I must just say, I do like that the chase scene in the Were-Rabbit with the dog going after Gromit, and he's in his little that fairground ride, and then he realises he's run out of change, and he goes to his purse.
Oh,
do you remember that bit? Yes.
I do, because it's funny you mentioned that particular one, because that's a classic case of, you know, in a story meeting, you know, it's 6:10, everyone's a little bit tired, and you tried and tried and tried different ideas, and then all of a sudden someone just, you know, says, well, what if he pulls the little coin out of a tiny little purse, and everyone just bursts out laughing, and you think, that's obviously in the film, you know, and I suppose those are the moments we're all kind of... that's what we're all kind of hoping for, really,
yes,
on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. Now, of course, as I mentioned to you before, that I love, obviously, highlighting innovation and creativity, and, you really epitomise that. But what is great is, obviously, Wallace and Gromit epitomise that, and they've got the Wallace and Gromit world of invention that you're talking about. So can you in a position to speak a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very much sort of now about to kind of launch big time, really. So it's been a very secretive project, as most of them are. But I think, as I say, they're kind of presenting this show that's really all about inspiring kind of young kids about inventing, about kind of machines and science and robots and, you know, obviously in their own kind of, you know, their own style of presenting. It's not all smooth sailing, shall we say, but I think it's going to be very, very enjoyable. But more importantly, kind of inspiring, really. Mm. I know I've been inspired working on it. So.
Have you? Oh, that's amazing, because there'd be a lot to be inspired about working on Wallace and Gromit, because they're ever developing, aren't they, and ever keeping up with innovation. And that's going to be great, because it's very educational, but also in a fun way, which is important,
right,
isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
And realise that people like yourself, super talented, are behind their creation. So thank you so much for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you for inviting me on the show.
My pleasure. Oh, me too. Yes, great to talk to you. And I'll let you get back to that wonderful job that you have of creating characters.
Lovely. I shall gush out for my pencil now.
Good. Glad to hear it. Thanks a lot, Jay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that's Jay Clark, the very talented storyboard artist from Aardman Animation.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.